Ever imagine a world where elections are won purely on the strength of ideas?
No billboards, no attack ads, just good old-fashioned policy debates.
Well, that's exactly what we're diving into today.
A world where deep pockets don't guarantee victory.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into a pretty radical proposal.
A proposal that aims to fundamentally change how we fund political campaigns.
Our main source material.
A blog post titled, get this, Making Democracy Safer and Fairer. A proposal to limit political campaign spending.
Found over on the Moth Cloud website.
And of course, as always,
we've got some fascinating AI-generated supplemental links,
which you can check out at the end of our deep dive.
Now, the core argument of this blog post
is that the sheer amount of money being poured into campaigns these days
is completely out of control.
It's creating an uneven playing field.
And potentially silencing anyone without a massive war chest.
It's not just about who wins or loses in election.
Right. It's about making sure everyday people
aren't completely drowned out
by the roar of, you know,
massive campaign spending.
The blog post basically argues
that this system gives way too much influence to
wealthy donors
and big corporations.
Okay, so to tackle this problem,
the blog post proposes a pretty radical solution.
Okay, so tell me, what is this solution?
A seven-step system.
Seven steps, wow.
That would completely overhaul how campaigns are run and funded.
Really, like hitting the reset button on the whole thing?
Yeah, you could say that.
Sounds ambitious.
It is. And the first step.
All right, lay it on me.
Get rid of all those flashy ads we've all become so used to during elections.
No more attack ads.
Nope. Instead, each party would submit a detailed manifesto.
You mean like a comprehensive policy platform?
Exactly. And they would submit it to an independent body.
Something like the Electoral Commission here in the UK.
Precisely. So instead of catchy slogans and sound bites,
voters would actually get in-depth policy platforms
outlining each party's stance on all sorts of issues.
I can see how this could lead to more informed voters, but would it actually engage people?
Well, that's where the next step comes in. This independent body would compile all these manifestos.
All the manifestos from all the parties.
Yep, all into a single document.
Wow.
And then deliver it
to everyone.
Straight to every single household.
Like a comprehensive voter guide.
Exactly. Allowing you to compare and contrast all the different parties' proposals.
The side by side.
Yes, exactly.
That is an interesting concept. But how do you make sure what's in there is accurate?
Ah, that's a great question. Because we all know promises can be made and broken.
Especially during an election.
Exactly. And that's where the third step comes in.
Okay, what's step number three?
Fact checking. Rigorous fact checking.
So this independent body,
they'd be responsible for vetting every single piece of information in those manifestos
to ensure it's accurate and supported by evidence.
You got it. No more wild accusations or empty promises.
I like the sound of that. What about those deep dives into specific issues you often find on campaign websites?
Ah, good point. Parties would still have websites with additional content. Yes. But, and this is important.
Okay, I'm listening.
Those websites would have to operate under pre-approved domain names.
So no sneaky redirects or misleading URLs to confuse voters.
Exactly.
Okay, this is where things get really interesting.
Right.
Step number five is a game changer. A complete ban on all paid political advertising.
That's right, all of it, online and offline.
No more billboards, no more TV ads, no more social media feeds flooded with targeted political content.
It's a bold move, but the goal is clear. Level the playing field. Shift the focus from deep pockets to substantive ideas.
Foster a more equitable and informed public discourse.
You got it. It's about moving away from the manipulative tactics we see so often in modern campaigns.
So how would people engage with the candidates if there are no ads?
Debates.
Ah, the classic political debate.
Exactly. They'd still have a place in the system.
So we'd still get to see those head-to-head clashes.
Yes, but with a crucial difference. The rules would be revamped to guarantee equal airtime for all parties.
To make sure no one voice dominates the conversation.
Exactly. It's about creating a space for genuine dialogue.
And a respectful exchange of ideas.
Exactly. Instead of the shouting matches we often see today.
This all sounds pretty expensive, though.
What do you mean?
Well, printing and distributing those manifestos, the fact-checking, the awareness campaigns, organizing and broadcasting those debates.
It does add up.
So who pays for all of this?
The government.
Government foots the bill for the whole thing.
Yes. That's the final step in this proposal.
So it's about making democracy accessible to everyone, regardless of their economic background.
Precisely.
Okay, so we've outlined this radical seven-step system. But what's the main argument for such a drastic change?
Well, the author of this blog post quotes Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis, who famously said, "We can have democracy in this country, or we can have great wealth concentrated in the hands of a few, but we cannot have both."
That's a pretty powerful statement.
It is.
But are there real-world examples of money influencing elections?
Oh, absolutely. The blog post points to the 2024 U.S. presidential election.
The one with all the record-breaking spending?
That's the one. It raised a lot of concerns about the influence of super PACs and dark money groups.
Those groups backed by billionaires and corporations.
The very same. They poured huge sums of money into supporting or attacking candidates.
And they often operate with very little transparency.
Exactly. Which makes it very hard to track where all the money is coming from and whose interests are being served.
We hear those terms a lot. Super PACs and dark money groups. Can you break down what they actually are?
Sure. So super PACs are political action committees that can raise and spend unlimited amounts of money.
Unlimited.
From corporations, unions, individuals, you name it.
And they're not supposed to coordinate directly with campaigns.
Right. But they can spend freely to support or oppose candidates.
Through things like running ads or funding voter outreach efforts.
Yeah.
So they can flood the airwaves with campaign messages.
And potentially shape public opinion.
But they're not supposed to be telling the candidate what to do or say directly.
Right.
How does that work in practice?
It's a good question, and it's a point of contention. Critics argue that the line between supporting a candidate and coordinating with a campaign can get blurry.
I can see how that could happen.
And the lack of transparency makes it difficult to track the flow of money and really determine the impact of these super PACs.
And dark money groups are even more shadowy.
Oh, absolutely. They exploit loopholes in campaign finance laws to keep their donors secret.
So you have no idea where the money's coming from or whose interests are being served.
That's right. And that lack of transparency raises serious concerns about accountability and the potential for hidden agendas to influence the political process.
So it sounds like these groups can operate with a level of secrecy that undermines the very principles of transparency and accountability.
The very principles that are crucial to a healthy democracy.
It's a bit worrying to think about.
It is. And those who advocate for stricter campaign finance regulations argue that this lack of transparency allows wealthy individuals and special interests to exert undue influence without any public scrutiny.
So the 2024 U.S. presidential election is a prime example of how unchecked spending, particularly through these opaque channels, can potentially distort the democratic process.
Exactly.
But the blog post also mentions concerns about corporate donations in the UK's 2024 general election, right?
That's right.
So what were the issues there?
Similar concerns, really. The blog post points out how major political parties in the UK rely heavily on large donations from corporations.
Okay.
And this has led to questions about whether those corporations are getting too much influence over policy decisions.
Potentially shaping the agenda to benefit their bottom line rather than the public good.
You got it.
So it's not just about who wins the election.
It's also about how the policies are shaped once those officials take office.
It makes you wonder if you can truly represent the people when you're beholden to powerful financial interests.
That's the million-dollar question. And then there are those rumors about a billionaire potentially funneling millions into a political party's campaign for the 2029 general election here in the UK.
If that's true, wouldn't that raise serious concerns about the future of UK democracy?
Absolutely. It would suggest that UK politics is becoming increasingly susceptible to the influence of wealthy individuals.
And it makes you wonder if anyone can even compete without access to that kind of money.
It's a valid concern. But before we go down that rabbit hole, let's focus on the potential benefits this blog post outlines.
Okay, so what are the potential benefits of this radical system?
Let's unpack those and see if this proposal offers a realistic path toward a more equitable and democratic political system.
Sounds good. What does the blog post say?
Well, it argues that this system would level the playing field for all parties and candidates, regardless of their financial resources.
So imagine a political landscape where everyone has an equal opportunity to present their ideas to voters without it being drowned out by the noise of expensive ad campaigns. It sounds almost utopian.
Yeah.
But is that really achievable in the real world?
It's a great question, and it's certainly a lofty goal. But let's look at some of the specific advantages the blog post highlights. One of the key benefits is a more informed electorate.
Okay, how does that work? How do manifestos and fact-checking translate into a more informed voter base?
Well, By giving voters direct access to accurate and unbiased information about each party's platform, free from the spin and manipulation that often dominate modern campaigns?
So you'd receive this comprehensive voter guide with all the fact-checked information and have the time to carefully consider each party's proposal.
Exactly.
That is very different from the current system where we're bombarded with conflicting information from so many sources, making it hard to know what's true, especially during the heat of an election.
Absolutely.
But would this system really encourage people to dig deeper into the issues?
That's the hope. By removing the constant barrage of ads and soundbites, it aims to create space for a more thoughtful and nuanced public discourse, one focused on substance, not just style.
So the blog post argues that this system could lead to a more informed electorate and a more substantive public discourse.
Right.
Are there any other potential benefits mentioned?
Yes. It also suggests that this system could help to reduce the divisive and often toxic nature of modern campaigns.
So without the constant pressure to raise funds and outspend opponents,
candidates might be less inclined to resort to negative campaigning and personal attacks.
It would be amazing to see a political landscape where candidates focused on presenting their own ideas and visions for the future,
rather than tearing down their opponents.
It's a nice thought.
But
realistically, would this system really foster a more civil and productive political discourse?
That's definitely a question worth exploring. But remember, even with the best intentions, any system can have unintended consequences.
Right. There are always two sides to every coin. So let's flip this coin over and talk about some of the potential downsides and challenges this proposal might face. What are some of the concerns that critics have raised?
Well, one of the main concerns is whether the system would unintentionally favor larger, more established parties.
Because they already have name recognition and more resources.
Exactly. So even without expensive ad campaigns, they might still have a significant advantage.
And smaller parties and independent candidates might struggle to gain traction.
Even with a level playing field in terms of spending.
Because they often lack the infrastructure and resources to get their message out there.
Especially without paid advertising.
That's a good point.
And then there's the concern about freedom of speech.
Okay.
Some people argue that banning political advertising, even if it's meant to create a fairer system, is a step too far.
Because it could potentially limit the ability of individuals and groups to express their political views.
Exactly. It's a really complex issue.
It really makes you think about where you draw the line between regulating campaign spending to ensure fairness and potentially suppressing free speech.
It's a tough balance to strike.
And then there's the question of voter engagement.
Some worry the system could actually lead to lower voter turnout.
Because without the drama and spectacle of traditional campaigns,
people might feel less motivated to participate in the political process.
It's like comparing a lively debate to reading a dense policy document.
Who said it?
And then, of course, there's always the concern about potential bias.
Oh, absolutely.
Who decides what goes in those manifestos? Who oversees the fact-checking? Could there be bias, even unintentional, that favors certain viewpoints or parties?
It's something to consider.
It seems like even with the best intentions, any system is open to human error or manipulation.
That's true.
So what stands out to you about this proposal? What are your biggest concerns? And most importantly, do you think this is a realistic path toward a more democratic and representative government?
We encourage you to delve deeper into this topic, consider the various perspectives, and form your own informed opinion. Because the future of our democracy depends on engaged and informed citizens like you.
Let's go back to those specific examples highlighted in the blog post, starting with the 2024 U.S. presidential election.
Okay, let's break down what happened there and how super PACs and dark money groups played a role.
And then we'll dive into the U.K.'s 2024 general election and those rumors about potential billionaire influence in the 2029 election. It's a complex issue with implications that go way beyond campaign finance.
It is.
Stay tuned as we continue our deep dive.
We'll be right back. So, the 2024 U.S. presidential election was a real turning point.
In terms of?
Not just for the outcome,
right,
but for how much money was flying around those campaigns.
It was crazy, right?
It broke all the records.
Like, shattered them.
And it raised some serious questions about whether everyday citizens, their voices were actually being heard,
right,
you know, amidst all that money.
Because when you have billions of dollars.
Billions with a B.
Flowing into campaigns. Much of it from super PACs and these dark money groups.
It's hard to know whose interests are really at play.
It's like this whole other layer.
A hidden layer.
Of influence.
Exactly.
That's really hard to track.
It's a system that's wide open to abuse.
Right.
It lets wealthy people, big corporations, exert a lot of influence.
On the political process.
Yeah, without much accountability.
And a blog post really highlights how these groups, these super PACs and dark money groups, really shape the whole narrative of that election.
Especially through those attack ads.
Those things can be brutal.
They can be negative.
Totally misleading.
And they can have a huge impact on how people see things.
On public perception.
Exactly. And it can even discourage some people from voting altogether.
So you've got these groups operating in the shadows.
Right.
Spending insane amounts of money just to tilt the scales.
It really undermines the idea of a fair election.
The idea that we're making informed decisions.
And it's bad for democracy.
So we've got these shadowy groups, but what about the candidates themselves? How much were their campaigns spending?
Well, they spent a lot, too. Right. Their spending had limits, right. And I had to disclose where the money was coming from.
So the real issue
is the unlimited spending
by the super PACs and dark money groups.
Exactly.
Because they can spend as much as they want.
And often anonymously.
Which gives them an advantage.
Over the candidates themselves.
So it's not a level playing field.
Not at all. And the lack of transparency, well, it makes it really hard to hold these groups accountable.
Or to figure out how much influence they really had on the election.
Right.
So the 2024 U.S. presidential election.
Yeah.
It really highlights those challenges.
It does.
Of trying to make our political system truly democratic and representative. But the blog post also mentions the UK's 2024 general election, right?
Yeah.
And concerns about corporate donations. How does that compare to what happened in the US?
Well, the UK has its own set of issues when it comes to campaign finance.
Okay.
While there are limits on individual donations, companies can donate a lot of money to political parties.
And that's led to concerns about...
About whether these companies have too much influence over policy decisions.
And they might be shaping the agenda to benefit themselves rather than the public.
Exactly.
It's not just about winning elections. Yeah. It's about what happens afterward.
It's about who's really benefiting from the policies being made.
And who those elected officials are really serving.
It's a huge debate.
It's been going on forever.
It's a tough one. But we need to keep talking about it if we want to create a system that truly reflects the will of the people.
And then there are those rumors.
Yeah.
About a billionaire.
A single billionaire.
Potentially funding a whole campaign for the 2029 general election here in the UK. If that's true, I mean...
That's a lot of power for one person.
It makes you wonder about the future of UK democracy, right?
It does.
And whether it's becoming more and more vulnerable...
To the influence of wealthy individuals.
That's a scary thought.
It is. And it really underscores the need for more transparency.
And accountability in how we fund campaigns.
Absolutely.
It's kind of disheartening, though, isn't it? To think that a few wealthy people could have that much... influence over our democracy?
It is. It
makes you wonder if the average person even has a say anymore.
I understand that feeling. But remember, we, the people, still have the power. We have to demand more transparency, hold our elected officials accountable, and fight for a system that works for everyone, not just the privileged few.
So what can we do? We've talked about the problems, the challenges, but where do we go from here?
It's a question we all need to grapple with. There's no easy fix, and any real solution is going to require everyone to work together.
Okay, so how do we move this conversation forward? What are some concrete actions we can take to push for change?
Well, the first thing is to educate ourselves.
To really understand the issues.
Exactly. Talk about it with others, understand how the current system works, what's broken, and what the potential solutions are.
Knowledge is power, right?
It is. And we can support organizations that are fighting for campaign finance reform.
Greater transparency and accountability.
Yes, and contact our elected officials. Let them know we care about this.
So we can use our voices, our votes,
and our wallet
to support candidates and organizations that are working toward a more just and equitable system.
It's about taking action, both individually and collectively.
This isn't just about politics.
No, it's bigger than that.
It's about making sure that our government actually represents the people.
It is.
Okay, so let's shift gears back to the blog post and those potential benefits of that 7-step system.
Okay.
We've talked about the challenges, but are there any realistic solutions here?
Let's dive back in and see.
Okay, so we're talking about a complete overhaul of how campaigns work.
A pretty radical shift.
No more attack ads, no more billionaire-backed super PACs.
Instead, we get these in-depth manifestos.
Delivered right to our mailboxes.
It's a bold idea.
But could it actually work?
Well, let's go back to those potential benefits from the blog post.
Okay.
One of the big ones is that this system could really level the playing field.
Level the playing field how?
By giving every party and every candidate, no matter how much money they have,
right,
an equal chance to present their ideas.
So it wouldn't matter if you're a small party or a well-funded political machine.
You'd have the same opportunity to reach voters.
So you could have an election where it's all about the issues.
About the policies, the candidates' visions, not just who has the most money to throw around.
It almost sounds too good to be true.
It does, doesn't it? But the blog post argues that if we take the money out of the equation,
yeah,
we could have a system that actually prioritizes substance over style.
So the best ideas win.
Exactly.
Not just the ones with the biggest bank accounts. But wouldn't this system still give an advantage to bigger parties?
What do you mean?
Well, they already have the name recognition.
Oh, right.
And a built-in base of support, right. So wouldn't they still have an edge?
It's a fair point.
Even if everyone is spending the same amount.
It's true. Those bigger parties do have a head start.
Yeah.
But the blog post suggests that smaller parties and independent candidates would still benefit from this kind of system.
And so well.
Because everyone would have that equal access to the voters.
Through those manifestos.
Exactly. Imagine if every candidate's message could reach every voter.
That would definitely shake things up.
It would.
It would give a chance for new voices and perspectives to be heard.
Exactly.
And if candidates didn't have to spend all their time fundraising.
Right.
They could actually spend more time engaging with voters.
Talking about the issues that matter.
That's a good point.
Instead of chasing after donors.
But let's be honest. Wouldn't this make elections a lot less exciting?
Less exciting how?
I mean, no more catchy slogans, no more of those emotional campaign ads, just policy documents.
It would be different, that's for sure.
Would people even read those manifestos?
Well, the blog post suggests that this shift away from all the spectacle could actually lead to a more informed electorate.
More informed in what way?
Voters would have to engage more with the issues.
They couldn't just rely on soundbites.
And they'd be able to make more thoughtful decisions.
So instead of being swayed by those slick ads, you'd actually have to look at the policies, the detail.
And make up your own mind.
It would require more effort from voters.
It would.
But it could lead to a much more informed decision-making process.
Exactly.
So the focus would shift to substance over style.
To the issues that really matter.
But is it really possible to completely remove the influence of money from politics?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It seems almost impossible.
It's a huge challenge.
But the blog post argues that it's a challenge worth taking on.
If we want a political system that truly serves the people.
And that's really what this whole deep dive comes down to, isn't it?
It is.
We've explored this proposal, the benefits, the concerns.
The challenges.
And it's clear there's no easy answer.
No quick fix.
But the blog post, along with those AI-generated supplemental links you'll find in the show notes.
Right.
It gives us a place to start.
A framework for thinking about these issues.
Because this conversation needs to continue.
It does.
And it needs your input, your insights, your willingness to get involved and push for a better system.
Because the future of our democracy depends on engaged and informed citizens like you.
So as you explore this topic further, keep asking those tough questions.
Weigh the pros and cons.
Form your own opinions.
And make your voice heard.
That's all for our deep dive into limiting political campaign spending.
Thanks for joining us.
And until next time, keep questioning, keep learning, and keep diving deeper.